17, so Dr. Harris, we're shifting into mountain goats.
Thanks, Commissioner Smith and members of the commission. Rich Harris again to discuss mountain goats with you. Some good news on mountain goats, I think. Okay. I want to start by showing you a picture of where we've been hunting mountain goats over the past few years. The blue polygons are numbered there, and they reflect the names of different mountain goat units where we've been able to successfully have mountain goats over the number of last couple of years. I'm going to mostly talk about the permit numbers for goats. Don't have a big ecological story to tell you quite so much on that. This slide shows you the number of mountain goat permits that we've issued in each of these mountain goat units over the last year. This is 2017, so the most recent year. A little bit of explanation. This is the Mount Baker area here. There's actually another unit that we have not been hunting here in the last couple of years. These are all hunted fairly carefully based on surveys we've been doing via helicopter every 2 years. We've got some, I actually think Washington deserves credit as probably being in the lead among states that hunt mountain goats in its ability to track mountain goat population trends through our survey techniques. That was stuff that was pioneered ahead of my time here by Cliff Rice, who still works for us. Over here on the Olympic Peninsula, this is the goat hunt we've had on the National Forest side, right adjacent to Olympic National Park, and it says 3+3. That's because we split the season early and late to avoid hunter crowding. It's a fairly small area, but we had 6 permits there. Almost all of these permits are filled. We occasionally have a goat hunter who is unsuccessful, is unable to get out, but success rate in goat hunting is about 90%. This year, some changes. And I will explain these changes in a bit more detail. All the ones in red are the same, not a lot of changes, because goat populations don't usually change very dramatically from year to year. Over here in the Olympic Peninsula, we have a change from the change, and I am sorry to tell you that it's a moving world. So what's in your pamphlet is that we were going to reduce this from 6 to 3 to avoid conflicts with the expected translocation efforts that I've been telling you about that we hope will begin this summer. Those translocation efforts are indeed still planned to occur this summer, but I just found out last week that the Forest Service is going to be a little later in getting us all the permissions, and they would like to not open up all of their areas for the translocation as early as this year and wait until 2019, the second of our 2 years, to do that, which means that there's no longer a conflict with this hunt. So I'll be coming back to you in April with a revision of this, which is back to last year. So back to the future is that, you know, same old, same old. Because, again, the idea is to be eliminating the mountain goat from the Olympic Peninsula. So when we have an opportunity to do it with hunters, we'll do it with hunters, and we'll then translocate goats that survive that hunt. And there still will be, because we've been doing, we had, I believe we've had 9 or 10 goats taken out of that hunt in the last 3 years, and there's still goats up on Mount Eleanor, if anybody who goes up there can tell you. The other change is the new hunt that we're proposing. No, I'm sorry, we got one other change. Here in, which one is this? This is in Natchez Pass. We had an unusual event last year because of a fire, which is not an unusual event. The entire hunt area was closed down for the entire season by the Forest Service. Thus, hunters not only had difficulty getting there, they were legally prescribed getting there during the entirety of the season. So we, if you may recall, it probably happened on a conference call. We actually you passed for us an emergency rule allowing us to fold over those permits to this year. We don't do that very often. We don't want to make it a practice, but this was a situation we thought it was the right thing to do. So for this year, we're proposing just adding on one of, we normally would have 3 permits in that. We don't want to have too many permits, so we're proposing to have the one, so that will be a total of 4 available for goat hunters in that unit this year. And what we'll do is we'll alert the winner of the fourth of that one. They'll see in the pamphlet one, but there'll actually be four hunters afield, and we'll let that hunter make a choice about whether that's acceptable to them to know that they may have to share that unit with three other hunters. On the other hand, no hunts at all, no goats at all were taken from that unit last year. I don't think the fire would have affected mountain goats. They're probably in similar abundances to what they would have been. So that's a bit of a complication on that Natchez Pass one. And, okay, what's my other... Down in Mount St. Helens, we've had an interesting situation. Talk about pioneer species. We found out that the goat can also be... You got a question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Want me
to go back?
What happened to the permits that were taken for Natchez Pass last year? Or were the fires before... Then.
So the fires occurred prior to the hunt, and so we contacted all three hunters and said, we're not sure you're going to be able to hunt there.
Yeah.
It may open up toward the end of the season, but you may be weathered out. We're prepared to go to the commission with this proposal that you can hunt next year if you're willing to wait, but send us your permit back so you can't hunt both years.
Okay.
And all three hunters took us up on that offer.
Okay, so they're the three... Okay, and then one additional.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification.
Okay.
So in Mount St. Helens, you may recall in 1980 something dramatic happened in Mount St. Helens, and all the goats that lived there died. Since that time, people would report occasional goats being seen, coming probably from goat rocks or other nearby places. We don't think about goats moving from place to place too often, but occasionally they will make these treks. And they started making a home of that area, and it's been fascinating to see as it recovers ecologically. The goats have been part of that process. In 2014, the Forest Service and the Colowitz Tribe got together with us and started some ground surveys of goats. Hey, there's enough goats. Maybe there's 30 or 40 of them. Let's start counting them. They did a good job of a very organized ground survey, and they counted over 60. In 2015, they kept going, and they saw 150. Well, clearly, the population didn't grow quite that much, so we must have missed quite a few the first year. 2016, again, about 150. Then the Forest Service said, let's do an aerial survey the way you guys normally do it and see if they are comparing. So in 2016, we did an aerial survey, and we got 250. Now, the goats have been increasing really rapidly, but not that rapidly. We've just been missing a lot. This is another object lesson in how it's very difficult to get a good sense of how many goats there are from the ground, because they can be in places we can't get to. So we finally said, well, I guess it's time to really open a season. So we're proposing two new goat hunt areas, but we want to start small. And so we're proposing just one permit in each of these two areas for a total of two. That's in part in deference to the fact that this is a national monument, a little bit of sensitivity to hunting. We're working with the Forest Service carefully on this. And there's also some cultural values for the Cowlitz about being on Mount St. Helens. So we figured, let's start small and get through the social aspects of this, and then we can probably increase the number of goat permits in both of these areas in the next few years. So this is the Mount St. Helens area and the Mount Margaret area just to its north. We're proposing new goat hunts there. Now, that said, we can still mine or take too many. Thing about goats is that they're difficult to get to. They don't, especially the females, don't move around all that much. We're interested in minimizing the harvest of the females. So in Goat Rocks, which is one of our more productive and successful goat hunts, we've been harvesting five there over the past few years. We monitor very closely the number of females. We know about how many goats there are. We're within our limits. We have no real biological problem. But what we discovered in looking more closely, and you recall that a few years ago we made mandatory registration, and that allows us to talk to the hunters, get a lot more detailed on where they actually harvested the goats. We started finding out that all of the goats coming from Goat Rocks came from almost the same place, even though there are goats in a number of different mountains, because of access. And this map shows you that the green shows you approximately where the goats are. This is our actual survey unit, survey blocks that we survey with helicopter. And the blue is kind of the eastern part. The red is the western part. It's a little bit difficult to see, but these small lines here are trails. This is all designated wilderness. This is the Goat Rocks Wilderness. But the trails lead up to this area in the west, and there are almost no trails. It's more difficult to get over on this eastern part. So it looks like we are sort of mining the western part of the population, which we don't, long term, we don't want to do. So this year we're proposing that we go back and subdivide this into smaller units and have two of the permits from the west and 3 permits from the east. So it's still the same 5 we've had. We're going to direct some of that hunting pressure to the place where it's a little bit harder to get to and have some of the goats come from the populations that have not been getting harvested at all. Long term, I think this is going to be healthier for that goat population. The other thing, of course, we do is we make either sex legal, but as you probably know, it's real hard to tell the difference between a male and a female goat. A and B, I'm sure you guys all got this. I'm not going to embarrass anybody on the commission by asking you all to raise your hands and take the test right now. But actually, that's not so hard. If you know what you're looking at, you can tell.
What if they're LBGT?
But in a field situation, it can actually be really difficult to tell a male from a female. But the biological consequences of shooting a female are real different from shooting a male. So we do everything we can to educate our hunters about the difference. And we send them a little video they can put on their machine, and we send them a booklet we got from Alaska. We've even sent them a little laminated card that they can put in their pocket and take with them, but we can't make them read it. We hope that they do, and most do, and I think most of our goat hunters are starting to be really good, but we still have mistakes, and the more we can get our goat hunters educated, ultimately not only does that help the goat population, but it helps future hunters because we don't have to cut back if they're shooting females. So this year we thought, well, one last thing we can do is make it mandatory that they do something. So what we've brought to you is similar to what Stephanie talked about with the bears. And what you'll see in your proposal is a mandatory online test that we borrowed from the state of Alaska. In fact, we took it from the state of Alaska with their permission. It's not hard to take, and it's really an educational device more than a test in that when you get done, it gives you the answers. It's kind of nice. It shows you if you got one wrong, not just, oh, you got this wrong, but why. What was it that you missed in the identification of this species, of this animal? That said, what we'll be coming to you with back in April is a revision of this. And that is because we felt a little bit uncomfortable with the notion that we were mandating a test for something that is otherwise legal. We're not making harvest of nannies illegal. In the case of grizzly bears, where they're endangered, harvesting a grizzly bear is illegal. There's a federal reason for having that be a requirement. Since the idea here really was educational rather than punitive, we're going to still have it mandatory, but rather than calling it a test, we're going to call it a training. And rather than having passed it, we're just going to require that you take it, which is essentially the same effect. So you won't be able to, under our proposed change in the WAC, you will not be able to go to step 2, which is to buy your license having been drawn, until you've actually gone through the effort to go online or use a paper copy and go through all these answers and check off, check, check, check. And we hope that in that way most people will learn something. And most people will, I think, enjoy taking it. In fact, it's available to be taken by people who haven't drawn a goat test. You can just take it if you'd like.
Did we put our name to Take Off Alaska?
That's right. That's right. We're not stealing it quite that obviously. Yeah, it'll be revised, so it'll have Washington.
Our name plus the improved version.
We will cite Alaska and acknowledge their contribution to this. But yeah, it'll have DFW stuff on it. We had general support folks. Most of the responses were supportive of the new goat hunts. We have other proposals of where we could initiate goat hunts, but under our game management plan, we really have to have a survey that shows that we've got a population that can sustain goat hunting before we initiate a new goat hunt. We've got that in St. Helens. We don't have that in other areas, at least yet. To the degree we got opposition, it was to opposition to restricting the Olympic Mountain hunt, and we're going to go back to one more year of the 6 permits there that we've had over the next few years. I'm hopeful that that'll be the end of that, because we're hoping that we can catch as many of those goats alive and put them in the Cascades this summer, as no doubt you'll be hearing more about as we go forward.
Thanks, Rich. I always enjoy your presentations, and in particular this one, because it's kind of a fascinating area. I recall in the past you've mentioned concerns about pneumonia in some of these populations, and maybe is that no longer a problem? Maybe you can just kind of touch on that.
Pneumonia is a real problem and a real concern for bighorn sheep.
Oh, okay.
It's a risk. Yeah. It's a risk for goats. goats can come down with the same disease from the same pathogen. So we've been testing our goats to make sure that they don't have it. We got a small scare a couple years ago in Goat Rocks when we had one animal test presence, not for the test positive, not for presence of the bacteria, but for exposure to it in the past. We doubled our effort to see if there was any indication of disease in that population, didn't find it. There's much less reason to think that mountain goats are likely to get it, because the reason animals get this is from interaction with domestic sheep and goats, which is much less likely in the case of mountain goats than sheep.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, moving on.